Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, owner, and editor of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Takeda C. Blackwell, to the podcast. Dr. Takeda C. Blackwell is a passionate educator, yielded to the call on her life to make a positive impact in the classroom, community, and beyond. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Biology, Secondary Education from Norfolk State University, a Master of Divinity in Theology from Virginia Union University, an education specialist degree in curriculum and instruction from Liberty University, and as of May 2022, a doctor of education in educational leadership from Liberty University. The title of her dissertation is Improving Elementary Science Academic Achievement for Urban African American Students, an Applied Research Study. Dr. Blackwell has worked in the field of education for the past 25 years as a science teacher, instructional coach, university professor, and teacher mentor. She is the founder and current programs director for Roots for ASTEM, an organization committed to providing academic support to children, parents, and educators, as well as promoting the genius efforts of African Americans in the arts and STEM. Dr. Blackwell is also the youth and young adult minister at New Hope Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. Her most rewarding position is being the mother of her two dynamic sons, Mark Trueheart and Alton Shalom. Dr. Blackwell's life conviction is summarized by a quote from Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. So let's get started. Dr. Blackwell, which methodology did you use?
Yes, ma'am. I used the applied research method.
Can you tell us a little bit about that method?
Yeah, so during my research study, I had qualitative and quantitative collection and research techniques. So for the qualitative portion, I use interviews and focus groups. And then for the quantitative portion, my participants completed a survey. So I had to use data from all three of those instruments to compile my research.
Nice. Since you had three different parts of it, I'm sure it probably gave you a bigger or a better look at what your research questions were, or better answers, I should say. So which writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
So under the advice of my dissertation chair, I subscribed to Grammarly.
Yes.
And I found it to be very helpful. At first I was just using the free version of Microsoft Word had, but I went on ahead and bit the bullet and got a subscription, so I was able to, that was extremely helpful, along with using, of course, the resources germane to the applied research method. A couple of authors for applied research, Cresswell is a big name that I kept coming across, so I definitely use his resources, as well as Bickman and Rock. They had a couple of methodology books that I used, and another area of resources that were very helpful was finding dissertations that were either the same methodology as mine or close to the same topic.
Yes.
And also finding dissertations approved by your university. So I was able to find two or three that were fit all those categories. They were applied research methods, they were close to my topic, and it was by my university. So you can see what your university is looking for. But sometimes the handbook is not
right
as specific as you need it to be if you need an example. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those were very helpful.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Look at dissertations that are similar in methodology to yours, and also ones that your committee has already approved, because then you have kind of an idea of what the expectation is. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any time management strategies to share?
So I think you're speaking to the next question, the time management strategy.
Yes.
Well, this question is really funny, because I didn't find one way that worked. My journey took me 7 years.
Okay.
And I didn't find one time management, the one schedule, one strategy that particularly worked. The lesson that I learned from all of the time management strategies that I put into place, I guess you could say, is be flexible.
Yes.
Don't add to your frustrations of writing and research by, you know, being so disappointed with yourself that you didn't read 2 hours every day this week. You know, life happens. My whole testimony of this whole journey is every time I set something in place, life did something
right
to make me have to change it. And it's almost like that's more of the learning experience than the research itself, trying to maneuver life even when you have all these other, you know, responsibilities and goals that you set for yourself. So don't be so hard on yourself with the time management. Of course, you want to dedicate, you might, in some seasons, you might want to dedicate certain days based on your schedule and what you have to do at home, certain days, sometimes certain hours work. But, you know, like I said, if you can't stick to it, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. Just set your goals, give room for some adjustments, and know your thresholds for time and tenacity. You know, you're a morning person. Don't try to, you know, burn the midnight oil like some people, and vice versa. If you're a night person, don't tell yourself you're going to wake up every morning at 6 o'clock and write. You just have to be, you know, ready when, ready to produce when you can.
Yeah, that's true. You know, definitely give yourself some grace. Do have a schedule, but, you know, it may not turn out exactly like you wanted to. And, you know, there's always room for wiggle room. And also, that's a point I want to make. Make sure you give yourself a buffer. If it's due, for instance, May 30th, don't plan to work all the way up to May 30th. Give yourself a couple, 3 weeks, you know, buffering there just in case life does happen, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
You don't want to fall into that. Yes. So, because many of us have lives, children, husbands, wives, other things we're trying to do, working. So it's always going to be something.
Right.
What did you do to overcome writer's block?
For one, I try to find outlets for myself. I mean, I know this is a hard work, and it's a huge task to take on, but sometimes you just have to give yourself mental breaks. We're hearing a lot about mental health these days, and it's apropos to, you know, even your dissertation journey. You have to take mental breaks. I have, you know, certain things that I do. I mean, sometimes I just have to close the book and go outside and throw the football with my sons, you know, just to, you know, give myself a break. Find outlets, opportunities. Now, getting back to your work, though, when I found myself, like, stuck, knowing what I want to say, don't know how to say it, I found later on in my journey that reading chapters 1 and 2 as often as possible was very helpful. Even, you know, subconsciously, while you sleep or while you're doing other things, your mind is kind of like chewing on all that information, and that's pretty much the foundation of all of your work. Everything that you're doing in your dissertation points back to chapters 1 and 2. So even if you're, you know, watching TV, when the commercials come on, read chapters 1 and 2, you know.
Oh, okay.
Just keep reading. Even when you can't write, just read those 2. But I had someone tell me who had gotten her doctorate, she read her doctoral, her manuscript, read something from her manuscript every day in preparation for her defense.
Oh, wow.
And so before I got to that point, I was in my chapter 4, I wanted to use that strategy to help me with my research. Let me continuously read this so I'll be, you know, first in the jargon, you know, the language that's, you know, germane to my study. So when it's time for me to write, I'll be regurgitating these words again and kind of like speaking the language of my study. So I found that to be extremely helpful toward the end, but it was, you know, it was just in time.
I like that a lot. I like that. I wish I had known that. That's good. So how would you describe your dissertation journey in one word, and why did you choose that word?
So the word I chose is unpredictable.
Definitely.
You know, of course, when you're on this journey, you try to ask as many people that have gone the path before you, you know, how their experience was. And, you know, if you're not careful, when yours doesn't pan out like what you've heard or what you've seen, you get kind of frustrated. So you have to just know that, I mean, even if it doesn't go with what your university says, they have the, you know, degree plan ready for you, what you're going to do semester by semester and what the stages of approval are. And sometimes you have to repeat certain stages. You just never know. So one thing I can say is some of the frustrating things that I heard from other people, I did not experience that. And also some of the good things that I was looking for maybe did not happen the same way. So it was all, I had to always understand that it was unpredictable yet tailored for me. When I needed benchmarks and deadlines to be shorter, they just came out of nowhere, you know? Yeah. Or, you know, if I missed a deadline or two or missed the mark, had to take class over, you know, that was just my, you know, my life. But I just had to keep going. I quit a lot of times.
Yeah.
I quit a lot of times. You know, that's the joke I keep telling people. I quit 82 times. But I did not stay down. And my inspiration, you know, was my for my sons, of course. But, you know, again, not getting caught up in the rut of, well, I didn't hear other people going through this. I just had to know that my journey was tailored for me, so I can't predict it based upon somebody else's.
Right, absolutely. Your journey will be your own for sure. Do not compare. That is sometimes discouraging when you try to compare your journey to someone else's for sure.
Right.
So I love books, so I have to ask, are you reading anything right now or are you taking a break?
So my thing was, when I finish this degree,
right,
I don't want to see another book. I don't want to see another piece of paper. I came across my one of the drafts of my manuscript while I was looking for something one day, and I immediately just tossed it across the room.
Right.
Of course, I'm glad I finished, but I just didn't want to see it. So honestly, what I'm reading now, I'm getting caught up back on my personal devotion. So I am, you know, getting more consistent with my Bible study, my personal Bible study. And I, someone gifted me a devotional called Be You by Lisa Leonard. And it just, you know, helps me to center myself, goes back into, you know, getting to know who I am again. Question to everybody is like, what are people doing out here in this world?
Right. What do people do?
For the last 7 years.
Right.
I don't know what people do for pastimes. What kind of hobbies do I have? I don't know. You know, so that's all a part of the, you know, get back into the rhythm of earth, I guess. Because I kind of been like not a part of what's going on this planet for like 7 years. So just, you know, trying to recenter myself and getting back into life. So
yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
That is so real. Yeah. When you are so used to being busy and every second of your day is taken up and then you all of a sudden have free time, yeah, it's an adjustment. That's a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are like, you know, now that you're finished, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything because I don't know what to do yet.
Right. And plus you just need to rest.
What y'all doing out here, I'll be glad to engage.
Yes. But it feels good just to rest for a minute too. It really does. All right,
yes, absolutely.
Dr. Blackwell, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience with academic writing?
Yeah, so one thing, again, later in the journey, I learned to keep a recorder or a piece of paper or pen close by at all times.
Okay.
I mean, if you're working at your job, at your desk, you know, even in the bathroom, because sometimes you can get this surge of writing that you've been looking for while you were sitting at the computer. You couldn't get your thoughts together, but out of the blue, while you're cooking or something, you know. So I had my phone handy. I would just talk into the phone or, yeah, go back to this article just to remind myself what to do later. So have something handy so you can write. And again, like I mentioned earlier, when you can't do anything else, read chapters 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over so that you can get the language of your research study embedded in your psyche. So it'll be much easier, be a natural flow. You're not trying to find the words to say right here. It's natural because you remember it from your research. So those things I would definitely recommend.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like that chapter 1 and 2 idea. That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Dr. Blackwell, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Schrader. I do appreciate it.
Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's T-E-M-P-E-O editing.com. Last, if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share with a fellow scholar.